Hello, beautiful souls. Emily Alexina back here today. Today is the day where I start to share Theo's story of our little Theo, Theodore. That's how we say his name in French, Theo, Theodore. And there are a few things that I think are really important to share about my journey with him that will be helpful for any woman or, you know, anyone really who's listening to this podcast and wants more information about wild pregnancy and free birth and sovereignty and navigating what choices we want to make in the system. And before I start, I want to really emphasize that there's no one right decision that will apply to every single woman in every single pregnancy. We all come from so many different life experiences. We all have different resources, both outer and inner resources. And all of these things affect our decisions in every moment. And so I think that's something that's very important is to be flexible with ourselves, that we can always change, you know, most of the time, change our mind about things, evaluate in every moment what feels most aligning, and really be gentle and compassionate in how we judge others and perceive others and their decisions. But I will also add to that that I'm coming to this place where I'm accepting how I judge and evaluate others and accepting how they judge and evaluate me. So a big aha moment and kind of like heart-opening moment in the past few months has been allowing other people to fully have their judgments about my life and to not judge their judgments. Right? It's like this vicious cycle where we feel judged by someone and then they feel judged by us. And then it kind of bounces back and forth and we keep projecting these things, bouncing off the judgment between each other. And the way that stops is by one person no longer feeling defensive and one person really fully accepting and loving that the other, no matter how they're judging your situation, you know. Also, just because people choose something different than ourselves doesn't mean they're judging what we do as wrong. Sometimes it does, and that can be okay, but it doesn't also mean that they judge what we do as wrong. And yeah, it's that I think that the subtleties in navigating all of these things of the judgments and evaluating the stories is probably more important work than the outer work of the actual decisions we're making, I think. I think that if humans can come to a space where we are really loving and seeing and honoring each other in our paths and also holding what could seem like two opposite journeys to be equally the best decision for two different families. I mean, like I'm talking about medical choices or whether or not to homeschool or what kind of food you eat. I really think it's important to be in a place where we can see that something can work out for another family, even though we don't think it would work out for us, and we use certain facts to make our decisions. I hope that makes sense, but this is something I've really been navigating, and I've learned a lot in the past 2 years about working with people who think differently and have different priorities, and to allow them the space for that and to allow the space for judgment. Okay, let's get into the first part of this birth story. I wanted to talk a little bit about our conception journey, about our choice to have a third baby. And then in this episode, I think I will also get to the pregnancy, which happened during COVID. So was pretty intense with that. So in terms of choosing to have a third baby, I have been a mother who can really hear her babies coming. I've spoken to many different women, and some women hear their babies and others, you know, just decide and they feel a desire to have a baby. They want it. It's right in their timing and in the strategy of their life. And so they start actively welcoming a baby in. I suppose I'm a bit more of a intuitive, free-flowing person, which has its pros and cons. For example, with my first daughter, almost 10 years ago, I heard her presence. I felt her presence 3 months before I met her father, even. And about a month before I met her father, and almost a whole year, just over a whole year before she actually came. The way that we met and came together and had a baby so quickly is kind of a crazy story. I think I have it in one of my podcast episodes, but I'm going to sum it up here again. So back in 2014, I was working in a cafe. I had just overcome a really deep depression experience that was kind of like a quarter life crisis after graduating from university in engineering. And I just knew in my heart and soul that I would not feel fulfilled and happy doing that. And so then what was I supposed to do? And it was really hard to change over and to let go of that 5 years of working towards that degree. And so I decided to go to Spain to help teach French. I was like a French teaching assistant. And in Spain, I was trying to decide my next step. I was trying to apply to jobs like in the big five consulting firms, because that was, you know, the highest thing that I could be doing. And it just didn't feel aligned. I was also really undernourished. I had been bulimic kind of all on and off through university, and also vegan, vegetarian. And so all of that caught up to me. My anxiety was through the roof. And I left Spain early and went to my mom's house and just laid in bed for 6 weeks contemplating suicide. It was a really tough time, but I don't regret going through that. Even as I was going through the experience, I knew that it would be a nourishing and valuable experience to my growth and to my path. And so that led me to just exploring things that made me happy. I took a Reiki course. I started working in a cafe because my dream at that time had been to own and open a little cafe. I just love coffee shops. I love gathering people together. That dream has kind of exploded now to running some kind of healing center, ashram, like spiritual healing center, in on a beautiful land, you know, peaceful, beautiful permaculture style land. So that dream is in the works, and it's a lifelong process to create that. And I also was saving up money to do a yoga teacher training. The other interesting thing with that is that I hadn't had my period in over a year after stopping the pill. But when I went to Spain, I was around all these pregnant women. I was tutoring English to the Spanish women there, and two of them, one was very pregnant, and this other woman was just got pregnant in my presence, and they had been trying for years, and so she had morning sickness and stuff, like vomiting through our lessons. And one of my close friends there, my closest friend, another French-speaking Canadian, also got pregnant at that time. And I remember her being young, and I was really floored. And she was very excited. And so I had this thing, and then I hadn't had my period in about a year. And so I was thinking, like, oh my God, I don't know if I could ever have babies if I don't get my period back. So what's interesting is that when I heard this voice, when I felt I was working in the cafe, this was after Spain, back in Ontario, living at my mom's, I heard this voice. I was eating the muffins at this cafe I was working at, And this voice inside, just the strong knowing, said, like, you need to stop eating all these muffins because you're going to have a baby soon. You have to prepare your body for a pregnancy. I was like, what? Like, I don't even have a boyfriend. I don't, how is that, where's that even coming from? I don't have a partner. I'm so not ready in any way financially to have a baby. But then it became this thing, this feeling, this desire. And I feel like it was her. She was around. And my partner, my husband, Vitaly, he said that in that month of October, he got a same knowing that he had to meet, he had to find a woman and it was time to have a baby. So that's kind of wild. And, I want to share that because I think that we have these knowings. I think that our spirit babies are around us, and that choosing to conceive and create a life and a body, really, for this soul to come in. It's not just about us. It's about the spirit who's coming in. It's about, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, the earth wanting the spirit here. It's about the life that this baby, that this human is going to be living on earth, the work that they will be doing, the service that they will be bringing. It's about so much more than us just wanting a baby right now. And also, sure, some people would think, most people probably think about the financial side of calling in a baby, you know, being able to save for their post-secondary education and things like that. And I'll be honest, that is not really super important for us. I mean, being able to support the children is important, but we feel like that can be figured out, and that develops over time. What a baby needs is not really, you know, for the first few years of their life. People say it's so expensive to have a child. You can really welcome a baby into your life and not need too much extra money. You definitely need community support more than anything. And I would say that is a big work for people, couples and women considering having babies and in their pregnancy, is building your community, finding your friends, improving your relationships with the people in your family, with your partner, and just becoming a better human in terms of, like, our relational skills, improving our relational skills. And I'm going to be sharing some resources here. And this is also something that I'm very interested in supporting pregnant women with. And so, all that to say that I heard this third baby for a very long time. I felt their presence. I had actually gone to a QHHT session with someone in Toronto. And QHHT is the deep meditation, a quantum healing meditation that I facilitate as well. But I went to one in Toronto. Oh, baby Theo is just waking up. In 2020, yes, summer 2020. And I had asked about whether or not we were having more children, should we have more children? And in this method, we connect to our inner voice, to our subconscious self in a very direct way, in a way that turns up the volume for our life afterwards. And my inner voice very clearly, and I even surprised myself, said, there's a little boy coming, a baby boy coming, and after that baby, there's a fourth baby and a baby girl coming. And we are kind of, my partner and I, we're a bit like radical entrepreneurs, homeschoolers, homeschooling our girls and their education, and kind of raising them up in body, mind, heart, and soul is our highest priority. And so we have not given too much priority to making money. We've kind of, we have help from my in-laws who provide our shelter, our home for us. But things are still tight in terms of being able to afford the highest quality food that we want to be eating and give to our family. And now as the girls get older, we do need more money for activities and all the things. So at the time, hearing that I would be having a third and a fourth child just kind of blew my mind. And I had felt this energy of this third child, baby, so strongly that I just knew I had to get myself prepared because they were coming in. He was going to be coming in. And some of the things that I wanted to do to prepare myself were just to be more organized and disciplined around the house. It's quite different to be welcoming a third baby versus a first or a second, especially if your first is not really old or older yet. But homeschooling and parenting a child over 6, 7 is very interesting, intense experience. Requires a lot of like mental and emotional energy versus, I would say, a baby and a child under 5 requires more presence and like physical energy, just following them around and being out on the watch as to whether or not they're jumping off the sofa like baby Theo tried to do yesterday. Things like that. Are you laughing? And so I was just telling myself that I needed to be disciplined about sleep. I'm someone who likes to study and learn and read constantly. It's something that really fulfills me and that I love to do. But I know that when I'm tired and I don't get enough sleep, then I'm not a great mother. So I felt like I needed to up-level all these things before having the baby. I was also very concerned about having another girl. Having a boy has been, a baby boy has been a big heart's desire for so long. Before having children, I even thought I would have 3 boys. I saw myself having 3 boys. I didn't really see myself having girls. And although I think my girls have been the biggest blessing, they have taught me a lot about womanhood, and it's been a blessing, and I'm so excited to pass on what I've learned to like heal my inner feminine, connecting with the divine feminine. I'm really grateful to be able to pass on to them. And my heart was desiring a baby boy so strongly. And I had this worry that if I were to have a girl that I would be disappointed, or that if I, and so from my past life regression, work, and in my studies of learning from other practitioners, they do say that some souls can feel the mother's thoughts and emotions while they're in the womb. And if the mother really desires a certain sex and then the baby is born of the opposite sex, that can create some kind of thing for the child. It can create some kind of thing for the child. And I was really nervous about this, but looking back, I think that the pregnancy is a perfect and magical transformation if we allow it to be that. And even Yolanda Norris Clark says that when the baby is born is the best time to learn the baby's sex, and is the best time to learn even if they have any abnormalities or, you know, anything physical, because the worry about it in pregnancy can cause a lot of stress, which can harm the which can hurt the woman's body and the baby's body.
Hey, Theo.
And that even for the sex of the baby, when the baby is born, the hormone cocktail that is going through our bodies and what birth does to a woman's bodies and mind and spirit, especially in a physiological situation, creates the perfect space to be welcoming exactly that being. And we're, and if we get that time to bond with that baby after birth, we can, you know, overcome those little egoic things of thinking, oh, I really wanted a boy, but it's a girl. But in that moment, if you meet that girl, when I met my second daughter, I wanted a boy. But when I met her and I had seen her in my dreams in my pregnancy, that's another thing. I dream a lot in pregnancy, and I do get an intuitive sense of whether I'm having a boy or a girl. And that the pregnancy and the birth create the perfect, I hope you can hear me. The pregnancy and the birth create the perfect situation to be open to welcoming whoever is coming to you. So that was interesting. And also before conceiving, I thought that I had to decide whether I was going to be having a wild pregnancy or whether I was going to be choosing to free birth. These were really big things on my mind. I had been following Free Birth Society since my second, actually. I had connected with them in the original Facebook group in 2017, 18. So I had been aware of free birth for 3-4 years before having Theo. And before deciding to conceive, I thought I had to decide on my birth plan before even conceiving. And perhaps as a birth worker, someone who's been around birth and attending women, this is more of a thought. But again, I would say that the pregnancy, anyway, from my experience, creates the perfect situation for making those decisions. And you can't really know exactly where you're going to be, what resources will be available to you, what women will be in your community to be able to choose your birth team. I actually think that comes around, you know, 6-7 months of pregnancy and can really change right up until the moment of birth. And when the baby is in the womb, when the body is being formed and the soul kind of slowly starts to enter the earth space and connect with the mother and speak to the mother, they also inform how they want to be born. The moment of birth is a significant karmic event for both the mother and the child. I mean, of course, it's their birth. It's their birth story. It's how they enter the world. And I think that they know how they want to be born. Sometimes they come in with their influence. And going further, that doesn't mean that a good or bad birth sets the tone and the karma for the rest of the life. But it does certainly give like a little background story from which they build their life upon, right? So, for example, I personally had... You're so cute. My own birth with my mother was... Okay, I'm going to have to pass on this little man. You're being too loud. You want to be on the podcast? My own birth with my mother was traumatic for both of us. I was born in a hospital, and I was pulled out with forceps and the vacuum. And I have witnessed this personally in the hospital birth. And wow, like it is a rough way for a baby to come in the world. She was also on an epidural. And she also reacted to pain medication, codeine, that they gave her after the birth. So she almost died reacting to that pain medication. So it's pretty wild. So that story is actually what led me to consider other options for birth. And it's very interesting that my sisters had smooth hospital births with my mom. Their stories are that my mom just went to the hospital and a baby came out. Like, they were very easy, and they choose hospital births. They trust that situation, you know. But for me, perhaps it's in my bones that I don't trust it, and so I have chosen this other path. And so I think that that's how a quote-unquote bad birth can be used to do good things in the world. Not to say that choosing hospital birth is bad, but I think my work of advancing alternative ways to birth is going to be helpful for women in our culture in the long run. So that being said, yes, the babies have their ways that they want to come in, and definitely looking at possibly a fourth pregnancy at some point. I hesitate to speak about it publicly, but I want you guys to be part of the journey. And even if at some point we choose that we're not going to have a fourth baby, you will have heard about the journey. And I hope also that this podcast format is a bit more private and people are a bit more intentional when they're listening and following along the whole details of my story. What else about conception? Yeah, so it was COVID times, and I remember in 2020, I was thinking that June to have a baby. Oh, I had a dream, a very interesting dream. I would love to hear if there are any women out here who are listening and who also have some interesting dreams that they want to share. I would love to gather, even just create an online book of some kind of situation of gathering all of our really interesting dreams. Okay, baby has been moved on to my partner. I was talking about dreams. So I had a pretty crazy dream that has been actually 3 years ago now, I think, since I've had it. And it was on June 13th, which is today's June, I think the 14th. So yeah, very interesting that I'm talking about this. But I had this dream where I was in my childhood home and I was alone and I gave birth to a baby boy, and it was smooth. There was no pain. It was easy and incredible. And so I thought that meant I would be having a baby the next year in June or something, or that I had a baby coming soon. And for a June conception, it's about, for a June birth, it's about a September conception. And when September came around, it was not the right time with COVID and my husband's job kind of changing. And we moved to Collingwood. There were so many uncertainties. Money was very tight at the time. There were just too many uncertainties. It really did not feel like the right time to be welcoming in a baby. And I also felt very tired. I was so tired. With my second, I had a vegan and raw vegan pregnancy, and I think I was very tired afterwards. It took me a long time to recover, and we started eating meat and having dairy when she was about 6 to 9 months old. And so this would have been like a year or two after that, but I still felt I had a lot of fatigue and tiredness, which I actually don't feel in this postpartum. Just being better nourished, I think, makes a big difference. I'm still quite tired and I get sleep headaches, but it's not this underlying exhaustion that I had after Radha. I can definitely handle a lot more, a lot more on my plate, and still be tired. So I had that dream. And what's very interesting is that a year after that dream, my sister had her baby. And she had her own experience in the hospital, and was not like what I had seen. So I was wondering, you know, why did I have that dream? Was it connected to her birth? Was it still connected to my birth? She had a son. So I'm not sure why that dream came, but it's still so strong in my mind. It felt like a different energy about the dream for sure. We also wanted I wanted a Cancer baby with a sun sign in Cancer in astrology. And so I wanted a end of June, July baby, which meant a mid-September to mid-October conception, more or less. And in 2020, it did not feel right at that time. And so I thought, okay, then it's not the time, maybe next year. And it also would have been fun to have been pregnant with my sister at the same time. But it just didn't line up. And that winter, I remember money was still quite tight for us. And I was praying, you know, the options were sending our girls to school and going to get a job or something. And I just kept really strong prayers. I didn't want my girls to go to school, especially during the COVID times with the mask mandates. Just having them in school with masks was so not an option for us. And my husband couldn't really find work again because of the COVID lockdowns and all the things. And what ended up happening is that people were asking me to have their kids, to keep their kids at home, to basically homeschool their kids. They knew I was homeschooling and they had to work, and I didn't have somewhere to put them when we went into lockdown. And so I started the pod and we started having money come in that way. I was also doing some homeschooling content online that I was being paid for. So that was all pretty cool how it all kind of came to be. And Vitaly ended up also getting a job in construction at one point. So it all started flowing again. And we tried to conceive that May, I remember. And otherwise, we practice just the pull-out method. And I kind of know my window of ovulation and fertility. But even then, we just do the pull-out method if we're not wanting to call anyone in. And Vitaly has quite good control over himself, I guess one could say. And there's this thing where men can stop themselves from ejaculating but still have an orgasm. And so he's known about this for many years. It's something that we've been practicing together. And it definitely takes discipline on both of our parts. And there are times where I'm like, oh, whatever, let's not worry about it. And he's the one who's more disciplined about whether or not he feels it's the right time. Because for us, anytime we've really called in a baby and he has, you know, finished inside of me, so to say, we have conceived. So we are pretty lucky in that sense. But we also need to take care as to really call in the babies and have responsibility as to when we really want to create a new life. And so we called in a baby that May. And I remember it was Mother's Day. It was the most beautiful day. I led some kind of mother's ceremony at my friend's farm. Everything was just beautiful. And we had a nice evening together. And after that evening, we looked at the stars out in the backyard. It was a beautiful moment. And nothing. No, it didn't take. It wasn't the moment. And of course, a May pregnancy is a winter birth. And I had a friend who conceived at that moment because I actually attended a birth that January. It's interesting looking back how you can put all the pieces together. And had I been 9 months pregnant at the time, I would not have been able to attend her birth in January. So that's very interesting. And my friend's farm where we were at, she was also trying to call in a baby and had a few losses before conceiving for her fourth baby, little Violet, who was born in May of this year. So it's interesting. I love thinking of the cycles of the earth and the different seasons and what comes to fruit, what transforms, what has to pass on in every season. And so, yeah, there's a lot of changes and big things that come about in the month of May. So we tried to conceive. It didn't take. That summer was very busy with the kids. I was pretty tired, so we didn't really feel like we wanted to conceive at another time. I was still feeling this cancer summer baby anyway, and so I knew that that would be waiting till September, October, which is interesting because it's really on that one cycle of ovulation, of fertility, that you need to catch it in order to have a baby born in that sign. And for my second, I was feeling that I wanted an Aries baby. I don't know if this is my desire or the baby's whispering. I think it's probably more the baby whispering and me being able to hear it and just be aware, because my second is quite the fiery Aryan child, and it perfectly makes sense that that's when she was born and wanted to come in. And so in September, we were again starting the school and the pod because it was still COVID crazy days. So there were two children paying full time to come to me for school. And I was definitely wondering if I would be able to handle the pod and teaching the children plus the pregnancy. You never know how hard a pregnancy is going to be, how much energy it's going to take from you. And that's certainly something to factor in depending on what's happening in your life. But again, if it's the right moment, if it's kind of meant to be, then things just flow. And in our case, we had kind of more money flowing because we had the school and many children coming full time. And so we did it. We got pregnant. We got pregnant October 5th, I think it was, is the day. October 5th. And it was when we conceived, and it was a beautiful moment. We lit candles. We were very intentional about it. We knew we were calling in a baby. It was really fun to be intentional like that. And yes, I remember a few weeks later, I think it was 2 weeks later, that I was folding laundry and my arm was kind of grazing my boob, my breast, in a different way. And that my first immediate thought was, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. My boobs have changed shape and I'm definitely pregnant. Like, it was such a significant thing. I even told Vitaly about it and he said, are you sure? Like, you just touched yourself differently. Like, you were just doing folding laundry. How can you know? And you know when your body changes shape. And it was just that slight, like, millimeter or two in my boob that my arm was touching it differently as I was moving. And I knew. And in the Free Birth Society podcast that I had been listening to, there were a few women who talked about not taking pregnancy tests. And I always thought that was something that would be very fun to experience. And so I chose not to take a pregnancy test. And that was really fun. That was really fun because I told Vitaly, I said, I think I'm pregnant. He's like, well, how do you know? Are you going to take a test? I said, nope, I'm not going to take a test. And so he wasn't really sure while I was sure. So it was this thing inside my body that I could just feel in and listen. We didn't have any rush to find out. And that's kind of a consistent message with having a wild pregnancy and choosing whether or not to do the testing is, you know, how important is it to you to find out at that time? Like, what does that change? If, for example, a woman is considering abortion, it could be very important for her to know as soon as possible and to confirm with a pregnancy test whether or not she's pregnant. There might be other things with work or depending on her relationship with the man she's with. There could be other important factors that would, you know, point towards the importance of taking a pregnancy test. But that's one thing with a wild pregnancy is you're really evaluating every test that you want to make has an influence, whether you do it or whether you don't do it. There are certain consequences to that. And so not taking the pregnancy test was like a first really deep dive into my own body, just being with myself, being with my body, being with the baby in those really first few weeks. And sure enough, over time, I didn't get my period and I started to feel a little bit nauseous. I think this is the most nauseous I've ever felt in a pregnancy, was with Theo. And I remember being quite tired as well in those first weeks. Oh boy, especially with all the kids, I did end up finding it really hard, to be teaching and be outside and be walking. I remember the snow. We had some snow come in November and I was in my early weeks of pregnancy and I was tired. I was struggling, and nauseous. And Vitaly was home. He was able to help with lunches. We were providing lunches at the time for the kids. And I had some other friends. I had two friends whose children were coming to my pod. And that was really amazing to see them regularly, even to see the parents who were dropping off their kids. And this is important because in contrast to my postpartum, which has been very lonely, just with how our life is set up at the moment, where I don't see anyone regularly unless I really make a big effort to plan it or host something monthly. But in my pregnancy, I saw these friends weekly. They were helping with the pod. Their kids were coming. We were singing. We were doing prayer. I was doing the lessons. It was really busy. At the same time, there was this whole thing happening with the COVID situation and the vaccine situation. Oh, I do want to share that I had a very odd experience. This might be interesting for some women listening. That August, so 2 months before conceiving, I had this very strange cramping situation happen in my womb. And it was so intense. It felt like labor. And I remember Vitaly, I needed his full support, like a labor. I needed him to be close to me. We went for a walk to the lake, which is about a half hour walk. So I could walk, but I needed to stop every once in a while because of this pain in my hips and in my womb. It felt so strong. And it kind of lasted for 2 or 3 days. It was very odd. It was very strong. And I went to an osteopath. I just called. I was like, I have to call someone. I need help and support with this in my body. And I went to go see this osteopath, Brittany Bird, at Totality Therapies here in Collingwood. And if it wasn't for that one experience, I would not have connected with her. And she was my only professional support that I saw in person throughout my pregnancy. And she helped me release, I try to think of what I had. I think I had fear. She's very good at connecting to what emotions are stored in the body and helped me visualize what that could be and then releasing it. And it was a lot of fear regarding COVID mandates, regarding money, regarding relationships, and I was able to just really release a big amount of all of that stuff from my womb before conception. So that is very interesting that kind of happened that way. And so I was seeing Brittany throughout my pregnancy as well. And there were, that was like the height of the mandates that November, December is when the vaccine mandates came out and the vax pass and all the things. It was mandated to wear masks in stores. It feels crazy to talk about now. Really feels like it was another world, another time. But that was a lot of added stress. And I had this big feeling of protecting my children, protecting my rights, protecting my right to freedom, and protecting the rights to my body and medical choice. And so that was very heightened. And because of all of that, there was extra tension in my family, which there's already tension in my family. But this was, this made everything bigger and worse, and the misunderstandings and the judgments stronger from all parties. And it was very intense. And I think pregnancy too heightens all of that. We're kind of more open in pregnancy. In Vedic, like Indian spiritual culture, they talk about protecting the mother and protecting her emotional field in pregnancy, that she should not be told anything scary, that she should be protected, and that she should just be as happy as possible because that influences the baby. And while I think that's true, I think that it's also the woman's inner work to maintain those states of calm. Like, to me, it's a very kind of moon energy, that like clear, calm, bright, white light that is just shining in the darkness, that is flowing depending on what she needs. So sometimes she's hiding, sometimes she's out and bright. That kind of moon energy, the woman can learn to develop within herself, and sometimes developing it in times of stress like that can make it even stronger within her. I think that's what happened for me. With my second pregnancy, I had a lot of joy in her pregnancy. I felt so much joy, and she is quite a joyful, bright child. But I would suggest that a big part of it is just the energy of the child that's in the woman, and how she affects the woman, how that child, that baby affects the woman in the pregnancy. Because you become one being, you become two beings in one being. I love the term mother baby, one word. You know, they're a mother baby, they're a dyad, they are one being in pregnancy, and especially in the first 3 or so months postpartum, and even during breastfeeding, and then that separation kind of slowly happens. And so I felt this strong sense of like warrior, rebel, standing up for freedom and rights. That was also the time of the convoy, the freedom convoy. And so I felt very proud of the work I was doing with the kids, that I was providing school for them, a group for them, a solid place for them to land in all this commotion, that even through the lockdowns they could come to me, and you know, we would have up to 10 children like cuddling on the couch and praying together and laughing together and playing outside together and all these things. And I'm really proud that we created that in the COVID times for these children. And so all of that, of course, furthered the decision for me to have a wild pregnancy, to not have anything to do with the medical system. I had heard from other people's experiences in hospitals, birthing with a mask on, attending, you know, prenatal appointments with masks on. I personally don't think that masks are very make much of a difference. And I think that they are very harmful for human psychology and relationships, especially the mother and midwife relationship is so important. And then the mother just being able to breathe freely in the hospital at birth is, yeah, very important. And that winter in 2022, was also, I decided that I would not be wearing a mask. I just could not. I basically medically exempted myself because I was pregnant. Going to the stores and trying to grocery shop while talking to my children, while being pregnant. In pregnancy, we have a higher demand for oxygen and air. And I definitely feel that, you know, at some point, even as the baby grows, your lungs are a bit more, the belly's bigger, so it's harder to take deeper breaths, and we also need more oxygen. So I would find myself trying to breathe through the mask, out of breath, talking to my children, and I just said, I can't do this. I can't wear the mask anymore. I need to take a stance. And that was hard. There were, I got harassed a little bit at our grocery store. I got kicked out of the bakery when we went to the Freedom Convoy. I was with the children, pregnant and without a mask, and saying I had a medical exemption, which is none of their business to know about. And yeah, this man kicked us out of the shop. And so all of that taught me a lot about humanity, where people are at, about standing my ground, about what the children are watching. It was big. It was really big. And I wonder what this will mean for baby Theo as well, because his whole pregnancy had this this theme like of kind of a light warrior is what I would say. And that kind of comes up in the birth story as well. Whereas my second was about joy and just bringing happiness. And my first was about like deep, dark transformation. It's very fitting for her as well. His theme was this like light warrior. So for the rest of the wild pregnancy, I didn't really have anything that came up in terms of health symptoms. I was eating like the best diet that I could be eating. I did eat a lot of dairy. I was craving a lot of cheese and I ate a lot of dairy, and baby Theo was quite a congested baby and had a lot of like colds and sinus stuff in his first months. So I wonder if that's because I ate too much dairy or dairy at all in pregnancy. I'm very curious to know your thoughts on that. I had a lot of beef liver. I was taking some mineral blends and the mother baby Whole Foods pre and postpartum support supplements. Trying to think of other important points that I wanted to share. I did attend a birth in January, so I was about 3 or 4 months pregnant. I think 4 months pregnant. And I attended my friend's birth where she decided not to call the midwives. And again, this was in the height of COVID days. So in that context, it makes even more sense. But she was having her third child. She knew what she wanted. She had heard about how the midwives attended friends in our area, and she was not pleased with this, what she heard, and did not want that in her field. And so we had agreed that if I was available, I would attend her birth. And it was incredible to witness a woman birth without any intervention, like not even someone wanting to check the heart rate or, of course, cervical checks. I hate cervical checks, but you guys know that if you listen to the podcast. But, you know, there was no one telling her, okay, now it's time to get on your back because I'm going to check how where you're at. We just waited. She put her kids to bed and she roared her baby out. It was very simple, and I look forward to having her on the podcast to share her journey. She was a quote unquote geriatric mother at 40 plus, and she had, yeah, her beautiful daughter born in under a starry January night. And the rest of my pregnancy went well. That winter was pretty tough with winter and being pregnant, with trying to fit into snow pants and winter coats. And I did a lot of skating with my girls. I was doing pre and postpartum, the prenatal bar blend workout program on Beachbody, and that I felt like that kept me really strong. And then as the birth was approaching, so I was due about at the end of June, I had just put it into the computer what my due date was. And honestly, that would be something really fun to do next time, is not to even enter my approximate due date into a computer, to just feel it out and know it. So I knew that I conceived early October, and you add 9 months to that, or I like to subtract, you know, three. So October is the 10th month. I go minus three. That's seven. So the baby is due early July. And I think the approximate way it works, the way I've noticed for my babies, is that it's basically 9 months away minus 1 week to the date is the about the 40 week mark. So when I put in for October 5th, the approximate 40 week day was June 29th. And I was also tracking the moons. So I knew when I had conceived, I believe was on like the growing moon, and I counted in my notebook 10 moons from that. I knew when I had the full moon and the new moon, and I would just check off every moon that went by. That was a wonderful experience. And I did get those emails about like how big the baby is, and I was checking on that, what fruit it is and what development stage it's at. But I think with the next pregnancy, that's something I would like to forego and really just not have any external input about what's happening inside of me, but just really dive down and tap in and listen. With a wild pregnancy, it was also interesting to not hear the heartbeat. I never once listened to the baby's heartbeat before he came. And I remember when he was born, I put my ear to his chest and I heard his heartbeat for the first time. And that was a really special moment. With my girls, I had, of course, heard their heartbeats with the midwives before they were born. And I remember, especially for my first, hearing her heartbeat was a very confirming. Her heartbeat gave me so much energy. It motivated me. I felt like I could hear the strength in that heart. And as a young 24, 25-year-old mother, that was very helpful for me at the time. And with Theo, in his pregnancy, I didn't feel at all like I needed to hear the heartbeat. I got a fetoscope. I tried to use it once or twice, and I decided to forego it and just wait and continue. I was doing the Free Birth Society complete guide to free birth at the time, and that was a fabulous course. I was also part of their membership, and there are affiliate links in the show notes to connect to that, to those courses. I really enjoyed that. I was doing also monthly village prenatal calls within the Free Birth Society membership, which were so uplifting, and it was so great to be connected to women making the similar choice. And it was funny because in the outside world, I would tell someone what I was doing. Actually, I didn't tell many people. That's another important piece. And it seemed like this wild, crazy thing. And then in my online world, I also had a close friend here at the time who had her own free birth, the birth that I attended. It was like the women I knew in majority were choosing wild pregnancies and free births, or were working with midwives, but were being very sovereign in their choices and, you know, taking from like a menu really what they wanted to be choosing. And so we're very aware of all the different things. So that was really cool. And I think people didn't understand that. My whole community was quote-unquote like-minded. I had another interesting dream. I had a few dreams about the birth where I had one where I was birthing in a hospital, free birthing, like in a room by myself in the hospital with my family, and that the baby walked out of the baby walked out of my womb and then he was walking away. And I was like, you need to wait because this placenta is out. And he broke the cord walking away. And then the placenta came out in pieces and I had to put all the puzzle pieces together. And I was like, okay, it's all fine. And then we wrapped up the baby and we all snuck out. And just as a bunch of doctors and nurses were coming in and they said, they're like, wait, what happened? Did a birth just happen here? And they were kind of confused. We just snuck out laughing and giggling as we went out. So it had a very like fun, playful tone to it, that dream. I had other dreams where like I forgot the baby in the trunk of the car and I had to come out the next day and find the baby. So I had all these fears about, I guess, forgetting the baby or maybe forgetting I was pregnant. Those were very interesting dreams. And I think, then my last thing in the pregnancy, because in the next episode, I'm going to share more about the actual birth and perhaps the weeks leading up to the birth. But I also hosted an event with a ex-registered midwife friend who was teaching an event about birth skills and emergency first aid for birth and the different kind of complications that can happen. And so the families who came to that were either free birthing families or birth workers. So I got to meet and connect with a lot of birth workers in the area, which was great, and learn different skills about what can happen in a birth. And I think in Free Birth Society, they also sort of touch upon this, but I was really glad to have something deeper to meet in person with a midwife who had seen some of these things. And she was fully supportive of couples choosing to free birth. She had supported many families virtually and kind of prenatally who chose to birth on their own. She was an amazing resource to have, really a blessing. And I was also able to reach out to her after Theo's birth. So that's kind of what all of that looked like. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add. I think that's it for now. And I'm going to come on and share about the weeks leading up to his birth and the actual birth and what that looked like. And in the meantime, if you have any questions about, you know, the conception journey or the wild pregnancy, the unmedicated pregnancy, let me know. Reach out. I now have a website up and a new email address, and Instagram is my social media of choice. So don't hesitate to reach out on all of those different platforms, and I look forward to completing the rest of the story for you soon. I wish you the most beautiful day.